I find joy in my life.
By reading quietly.
Through laughter. Through exercise.
In my hobby of baking.
With my family and friends.
In being in nature.
In running.
In investing in the relationships that bring my life meaning.
When I can put my toes in the sand and hear the crashing of the waves.
Welcome to Joy of Medicine On Call, where we explore the many paths physicians take to find joy in our practice of medicine. I am your host, Dr. Rajiv Mesquita, and I look forward to your engagement in this exciting program. From the Sierra Sacramento Valley Medical Society, please be sure to stay tuned for our 5-minute meditation at the end of this episode. I'd like to welcome Dr. Ruth Haskins today to Joy of Medicine On Call. Dr. Haskins brings over 20 years of experience in obstetrics and gynecology for a patient's benefit. She is actively involved in the political process and is well known at the state capitol and in Congress, and is a passionate advocate for women's health care. Now, you may know this, and some of you may not, but Dr. Haskins is a past president of the CMA. And until 1993, she served on active duty in the U.S. Air Force, attaining the rank of major. It's pretty amazing. Before hanging up her uniform to come out to the community and practice medicine. Just prior to ending her military career, she was awarded a Meritorious Service Award for her work as chairman of the Department of OBGYN at Scott U.S. Air Force Base in O'Fallon, Illinois. And she had overseen several thousand deliveries per year in that facility. What's actually really important to us is that Dr. Haskins is one of our spirit volunteers and is passionate about volunteerism. She's an avid reader, and some of you may like this or may not, she's a devoted fan of the Pittsburgh Steelers. In fact, you probably can't see this here, but she has a Pittsburgh Steelers sticker on her iPhone or a case. So, Ruth, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're delighted that you're able to take some time to join us here. And so the first question I'd like to ask you, Ruth, is where did you discover your passion for medicine?
Well, discover is a funky word because I don't think I found it or discovered it. I think it's always been there, always. Mm-hmm. From as far back as I can remember, I've done things that either help people or help society one way or the other. And I know that sounds kind of odd for a kid, but I was the one out trick-or-treating for UNICEF, carrying the little milk carton-like cases around asking for money rather than candy, just because it felt good. It felt good to give to a good cause. I was the one that was pulling the sick puppies off the road and you know, rescuing the stray cats and doing anything that could bring a smile to people's faces. That made me feel better from the time I could remember.
It started back then. And then OBGYN, was that part of your initial passion as you were moving around trying to find the best field for you?
No, I think that that came out of the combination of loving babies, who doesn't, and loving to sew. I mean, I grew up making all my own clothes. And I like taking pieces that are disjointed and putting them back together for something that's uniform. I like the act of using my hands toward creating something that's special. And so in high school, I became the team trainer, the athletic trainer, because if you fix one individual and it makes the team better, then that gave me a special kind of joy of being part of the team. And I think now my patients, if I have the mom and she's better, then the entire team, the family's better. Yeah. Yeah. And if we keep our families healthy, then the community's healthy.
Yeah.
So that it bridges on OBGYN. I love to sew. I love surgery.
Yeah.
And I love making the family intact.
Yeah.
And that's how I look at medicine. And that's what drives me to volunteer in medicine.
Yeah.
Is because keeping the family of physicians intact has become my passion.
And, you know, that's interesting that you brought up volunteering, Ruth. Where do you currently volunteer? And how did you become interested in volunteering?
Well, I've probably always volunteered somewhere or another. Currently, I'm spending most of my time with Clinica Tapati, which is the Saturday clinic run by the UC Davis and California North State medical students. I'm amazed, though, at how many undergraduates are involved and in what diverse arrays.
Yeah.
When I'm working with them, they are some of the smartest people I've ever met. They inspire me. The gal I worked with this past Saturday, I would have sworn that she had a master's degree in business, the way she was coordinating the information I was sharing with her, and she was then going to call the patients and arrange for their consults.
Yeah.
And it turns out she's a third-year undergrad.
Hmm.
So I had to give her my personal information and say, you ever want to work in an office or shadow me, or you have a life after this, I want to be part of it.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. Ruth, how do you make time to volunteer and practice medicine? Because you're doing so much. I mean, besides practice, all these other activities, how do you make the time for that?
I think I understand very clearly the importance of volunteering and giving back to the community, and how necessary it is to decrease burnout.
Mm.
And recognizing that burnout leads to poor patient outcomes and leads ultimately to potential for physician suicide, that became my rallying cry when I was running for the president of California Medical Association, is to restore the passion, mm-hmm. recognizing that without renewing the passion among physicians,
yeah.
we're going to have a real diminishment of our forces down the road, nobody to take care of the elders that I'm about to become. Mm-hmm. So I'm 5 years from Medicare. I want some doctors to be there to take care of me when I hit Medicare age, and we're going to run out of them if they either leave the profession or kill themselves. And so I think that the need for renewing the passion is essential to the continuation of the practice of medicine. And so I'm driven by survival.
Mm.
I want someone to take care of me, and I want to survive in this jungle that is private practice of medicine.
Mm.
So without doing it, I wouldn't. I wouldn't have the urge. It's a killer in terms of the hours and the devaluing that this current system has for physicians, where you work harder but you get paid less. It's nicer when you give it away and you get a hug back and you get a healthy person back, and you've really contributed to community and you've contributed to the teaching of the youngsters as they're coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And by just playing as a role model at the clinica, I'm helping these youngsters not only to see that volunteerism is essential to private practice, but I'm also helping them to develop their skills and their confidence so that they're going to be there to take care of me when I'm older.
And you've also been feeling something come back to you.
Totally.
You feel that sense of rejuvenation.
Totally.
As you volunteer and give back.
That's... Now, a couple of the patients have required surgery, which they can't do at the clinica. So I've brought them back to Folsom. And I've encouraged, I've talked, I've cajoled my anesthesiologists, assistants in the hospital into providing their care, surgical care, for free.
Mm.
And everybody that I've worked with that's done that has not only responded like, I'll do it, but they've said, yeah, I can do that. And now it's contagious.
Yeah.
And now these are people that are like, I'm doing something. I'm
yeah.
giving back. This is really cool. And so it's really nice to see how it spreads.
And, you know, there are a lot of studies to show that, you know, volunteering and doing that really brings you closer to the community and does make you feel a lot better, you know, as you pointed out. Ruth, you know, you're so accomplished. Has there ever been a critical point in your life where you've had to change your lifestyle?
Oh, absolutely. You know, first, when I had kids, you really have to recognize what's most important. And you have to, especially if you're a breastfeeding mama, if you don't take time out to breastfeed, well, terrible physical things happen. So you get to know right away that you just have to give time to the kids and you recognize their priority in your life. It's after a bad day to stand in the doorway of the nursery allows you to realize what's most important, and it puts everything else in perspective. So there's a huge change in your prioritization just by having kids.
Yeah.
But having kids in a marriage makes you just want to make your marriage take a back seat. And we recognized right up front, you need a date night.
Mm-hmm.
You need one night out every week just to let the marriage stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did that for 20 years. Every Saturday night, we went to dinner, a movie, and out dancing. We were the oldest people in the dance club for a long time. And that was a good 20 years that went by. Then the kids end up in elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
I had to change to the university.
Mm-hmm.
I really needed more time with the kids. So I needed to be an employee, not a private practice doc, so I could just mark my time and go and see them. But then the electronic medical record came, and the university experience became a little demoralizing and inefficient and unavailable. And so then it was back to private practice, where the control freak that I am allowed me to be the best doc I could be. By then, the kids are older. They were working in my private practice. So various changes. Every 5-10 years, there's been a radical change in how I practice and in what becomes the most important thing in my life.
So just to, as you move through the phases, you readjust your goals, you readjust your priorities, and move ahead in that
Absolutely.
Fashion.
Absolutely.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. Ruth, you know, you've been a very active member of the Joy of Medicine Advisory Committee, and I've really enjoyed working with you. And during that time, you've shared many great ideas and as to how you actually deal with physician burnout. And I know you've gone to various medical centers and hospitals, and in your role as the president of the CMA, you've actually been going around spreading some of that. I wonder if you would be willing to share with our listeners some of the ideas that you instituted.
Well, while I had the platform of being the president of CMA, I was invited to various medical societies.
Yeah, we definitely want you to take care of your wellness. Ruth is drinking some water currently.
So I had the platform of the president, and so I'd get invited just to talk about what's going on in the CMA. But because I had the background of Joy of Medicine and the burnout set of 175 slides, people would say, tell us what's going on with CMA, but then please spend 45 minutes telling us how to avoid burnout. And the more I talked, the more I read, and the more I grew to know. So those 3 years marked 3 years of going to different medical societies up and down the state and talking about personal stress management and systemic changes that need to be made through systems changes so as to decrease the hardship of being a physician in California. So when I got out of being CMA, I wanted to use that information for my own colleagues in my community. So last January, I volunteered to be the chair of the Wellness Committee. Now, every hospital has one. JCAH requires it. But usually the Wellness Committee is a group of people who a disrupted physician or an alcoholic physician is sent to monitor, and that's it. And I could see a different purpose for such a committee and thought, let's prevent burnout rather than treat the person who's already affected by it. So with $1,000 my hospital generously supplied me, I created a physician wellness center in our lounge. And every hospital needs a lounge. You got to have a place to go to relax. Ours has a big screen TV, a freezer filled with Indian health food, and a fridge filled with vegetables. I supply a basket with chocolate continuously and another basket with lavender sachets continuously.
Great.
The books that are there are related to meditation and yoga and healthy living, decision-making, leadership, and then a whole lot of books that doctors like to read by Verghese, Atul Gawande, et cetera, with a theme about every 2 or 3 weeks on sleeplessness, how to recover from sleep deprivation, or Crazy Socks Day, or Red Nose Day, or the importance of lavender, or the importance of thank you notes with a big basket of thank you notes. There's something like thematic. Every 3 weeks or so I change it, and that's been for one solid year. Separate from that, for the healthcare community, the Physician Wellness Committee advertised and supported every Monday, having Meditation Monday, where we take over the chapel with harp music for 15 minutes, followed by something, whether it's Sahaja Buddhist meditation or saying a rosary for an event that happened or guided meditation or just a moment of silence. And then that's every Monday in the chapel. Every Wednesday, we have a Walk in the Wild Wednesday where it's a 26-minute trek around the lake that's opposite the hospital. And then Friday, we do Frivolous Friday. They're always at 12:45 so people can count on them. And out in the patio, we do something interesting like pet rabbits or finger paint or pet rocks. Not pet rocks. Paint rocks. Paint rocks. We released balloons that we wrote aspirations on. We had the girls come give hand massages. We try to do something special and different for the senses every Friday. The most recent one, we wrote on bananas. Interesting things like you are special, you are important. And then we put bowls of these bananas all over the hospital for people to read, enjoy, and appreciate.
Your physicians must be very happy. I mean, that really sounds like a wonderful list of activities.
Well, I'm proud to say our suicide rate is zero.
Fantastic. You know, what I find interesting, Ruth, is you've done so much, you know, and especially as the president of the CMA going around doing all this, and you have a family at the same time. How did you balance that? How did you find that balance?
Well, I try to involve the kids. When the SACS Sierra Valley Medical Society was doing the Walk with a Doc, my kids were in elementary school, and they religiously came to the Walk with a Doc with me every time. And when it comes to legislative advocacy, when we were at the Capitol in Washington, trying to preach to the legislators the importance of breastfeeding in public being legal. My son John was just born, so he was the poster child for breastfeeding in public. The kids have seen me and come with me anytime I meet with legislators or elected officials. They've seen me in action. They can quote more statistics about abortion than any kid ought to know. And I'm proud of that because now they're both advocates. They're both very politically active. My husband, being a lawyer, allows him to support what I do as important. But more than that, he's a really unique individual who is my biggest cheerleader and supports everything I do more than any human can ask for. He does the shopping, he does the laundry, and he knows how important this is both to my happiness and to the community. And so he supports it all.
Well, Ruth, you know, it's clear to us that volunteering is a huge part of your life, you know, right from the beginning all the way now. How do you encourage others to fit volunteerism into their busy lives? I mean, I could easily conceivably see some physicians say, "Oh, I'm too busy. You know, I don't have time to volunteer." What would you say there?
Well, I lead by example. So I come back from Clinica Tapati and share with people what I've done, what I've seen, the patients I've had an experience with, and I finish by guilting them into saying, "Oh, can I give them your name, please?" And they can see how it's made me a happier person. Even I don't know any doctors who work much harder than I do in terms of actual hours at work and work put out. I don't know too many workaholics that work as much as I do. So if I can do it, they can do it. And if I can get this much happiness from it, if I'm a better doctor for it, then they got to see the joy in it. So it's leading by example mostly.
Leading by example. So, you know, we're going to move to the next phase, Ruth, which is a series of lightning round questions. So I'm just going to have you react to these questions, whatever comes to mind. So the first one, Ruth, can you reflect on something that brought you joy in the last week?
Absolutely. My son came back from University of Oregon at Eugene. He'll be home for Christmas for 1 month. And to see him healthy and happy and really passionate about his studies, terribly joyful.
That's wonderful. And for those who can't see, there's this huge smile on Ruth's face. And it's a picture of joy. The next question, what is the best advice you ever received?
Celebrate the temporary. I say that to my patients all the time. I think it to myself all the time. It was actually the title of a book that somebody gave me. It was written by a preacher, and I have a copy of the book all thumbed through and underlined and highlighted. But celebrate the temporary really is an encapsulation of the idea of mindfulness and of appreciation of the moment. And so I use that phrase all my life, celebrate the temporary.
I like that. That is really good advice. Ruth, what is a book you can recommend that helped you find joy?
It wouldn't be a book. It would be music. I'm a big fan of using music in the background of almost everything I do in my life. So I'm never in the operating room without a musical. I have a surgical, I have an old iPod. I have to use the wiring to transfix it to a new Bluetooth, but the iPod has about 27 different music sets. And so depending on the mood, you know, mood music, but I have a surgical set that's about 300 songs think actually makes people want to be in my operating room because they know it's going to start off with Al Green, "I'm So All in Love with You," and it's going to go the gamut of Nine Inch Nails, Lady Gaga. It has a little Led Zeppelin. It has a little of everything and a lot of old music that people just love to sing to. And it's music is the salve for life's wounds.
That's pretty amazing. Ruth, who is someone you admire?
James Conner, hands down, running back for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Used to play for University of Pittsburgh and my alma mater, and then got leukemia, fought it, fought back, chemo, radiation, fought back, and now he's just the person I enjoy watching the most these days on the Steelers.
That's great. That's fantastic. Ruth, what are you most grateful for?
My husband. Yeah, if I didn't have his support, I couldn't do any of the things that I do right now. Secondly, I'd have to say my mother's work ethic. She wasn't a workaholic, but she was consistent. Consistent, persistent, never gave up, never complained. She was always there. I think I have it in my blood, and I'm grateful to her for that.
Ruth, how do you take time for yourself?
I think the most time I take for myself is by taking a minute out of every hour and dedicating it to myself. So to take a day and go to a spa isn't my style. You felt me pause. It's just not my style as a workaholic to take 3 days and go to Calistoga or take a day and go to a spa. I would feel too much guilt in that. So rather every day for 1 minute, I'll do something special just for me. So I try to take 1 minute and take a deep breath or assume a yoga pose or eat a piece of chocolate or smell a candle I have in my office or something that just makes me feel good and doesn't affect too many people around me. It's just for me.
Yeah.
I'll take a couple of minutes. I'll steal away to look at Facebook at the end of the day, and I'll take a few minutes to look at Twitter at the beginning of the day, and that's just stolen moments that are just for me.
Wow, that's really great. And that's something you could, almost anyone could do. You could find something like that. It doesn't have to be fancy, as you mentioned. That's pretty amazing. Ruth, what is a step listeners can take in the next 24 hours to find joy?
Exactly what I just said. I recommend to my chronic pain patients exactly what I just said to take. If you dedicate 1 minute of every 60, that's not a lot. And if you say, I deserve this, it gives you a sense of well-being that decreases your overall pain and increases your enjoyment of life. Just that recognition that you are important to the world. So you're worth it to take a minute for yourself.
Wow, that is so good. It's great advice. Now, this has been a simply delightful evening. Time really flies so fast. I want to thank Dr. Ruth Haskins for taking the time out of her busy life to volunteer to come down and talk to us about this important topic. We've learned a lot about the power of volunteerism and what we can do to bring joy to our lives. Thank you so much.
You're so very welcome.
Let's begin a breathing meditation. Let's find a place where we're comfortable, either seated in a chair or lying on our backs. It's perfectly fine. Close our eyes, draw attention to our breath. Feel the sensation of the air coming in and out of our nostrils. Every time we breathe in, let's count upwards, starting with 1 for the first in-breath, 2 for the second in-breath, 3 for the third. And as we get to 5, let's go back down to 1. Let's begin. It's easy for our minds to wander. Bring it right back to counting. And if we forget our place, it's perfectly okay to start from 1 again. Counting from 1, 2, 3, 4. 5, and then back to 1. Keep drawing our attention back to our breath, focusing on the count. As our minds wander, just bring it right back. And if we forget a place in the count, start from 1 again. Not fighting the distractions, but just drawing our attention back to the breath as we continue counting. Noting the sensation of the breath as it comes in and out of our nostrils. perfectly okay if we lose our space. We come back to one, continue counting. Our minds are wandering, we bring it right back to counting. Bringing our attention back to our breath, we gently open our eyes, bring our attention back to our current surroundings. As we wake up, feeling refreshed. Thank you. Please be sure to visit our website at joyofmedicine.org.